Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Partnership with Christ.
Good morning, church. Happy New Year's. How's everyone this morning? You know, it's great to be here. You know, I echo Kay's comment. It's always a privilege to be here in front of the congregation, you know. It's the first sermon for 2018. And, you know, Pastor said to me, it better be impactful, Sang. So we'll see how we go. So those that don't know me, my name is Sang, and this is only my second time preaching. And, you know, a lot of people have told me because it's my second time, I actually get double the amount of time. So that's pretty cool, right? So you better pray I'm not here for a third or fourth time, otherwise you're going to have to bring a pillow. So look, before we get into it, I just want to recap what Kay spoke about last week, because who here thought Kay did an awesome job? Yeah? Many of us, right? So Kay did an awesome job in wrapping up 2017, right? Because we covered a lot of ground last year. But what were the three main areas that that we covered off? Does anyone remember the three main areas of focus in 2017? What was it? Healing? Yep. What else we got? Identity? And what was the last one? Serving and ministry, right? Those were the three main areas of focus in 2017. But now we're in a new year, right? We're in 2018. So what does God have in store for us, church? What does God have in store for us? Well, you know, Pastor gave us a bit of a snippet of that, right? He said the significance of the number 10 plus 8 was going to give us a year of what? Complete new beginnings, right? Complete new beginnings. So we're going to reset ourselves and we're going to activate ourselves in different ministries, right? We're going to see a rejuvenation in our family life. Yeah, amen. We're going to see supernatural work in our small businesses and we're going to see a generation that's raised to be ambassadors for Christ. Amen, church. This is what we're going to have to look forward to in 2018. And I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited about what's going to happen, what God has in store for us. But, you know, when I was reflecting on that a little bit, I said, you know, God implanted a word to me. He said, saying, before we can be really effective for you, before we can really be effective for God, we really need to understand what it means to work with God. Get me, church? Before we can be truly effective for God, we need to understand what it means to work with God. So the title of my sermon today is What It Means to Partnership with Christ. And we're going to do this a little bit more differently, right? I'm going to make it as interactive as possible. We've still got a few people away on holidays. Pastor is away. I want some engagement from the congregation, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe for you a couple of partnerships that Forbes magazine consider are successful and interesting. What I want this congregation to do, I want you to highlight for me what are the common attributes that make them so successful. Can you do that for me, congregation? Yeah? Okay, I want to start off with a very easy question, right? It's going to be very simple. Who does this logo belong to? Apple, thank God for that. I was worried someone's going to say Granny Smith. So we're in the right century, right, church? We're in the right century, First Light. So Apple, put your hands up right now if any of you have used or own an Apple device. Put your hands up right now. Wow, there's a lot of us, right? Look around the room, guys. So what is Apple actually known for? So even though the devices have good connectivity, they're actually known for producing things that are quite user-friendly, right? And it doesn't matter what demographic that you're in. You could be young, you could be old, you could be female, male. It doesn't really matter. Even my mother-in-law has two Apple devices, an iPad and an iPhone, and she's quite technologically challenged, right? She's more hip than I am because I have a Samsung. So who did Apple partner with? Apple actually partnered with none other than IBM. So IBM, back in the day, were known for computers. But as of late, what they've been delving into more is large data analytics. So they take large pieces of information and bring it to something that is insightful. So what these two companies were able to do through their strategic partnership was take large pieces of information that is insightful straight to your fingertips. Right, church? And there's many applications. You can imagine using that information and making decisions with that large information. And one of the examples that they have actually utilized it is in the retail industry. So now, when you go to certain shops, what you're able to do is you use an iPad to, you know, place your orders. And what it does is it pulls the latest fashion trends. It looks at your purchasing history to improve your shopping experience. Pretty amazing, right? So let's go to the next partnership. I've got right here is a picture of the actual product itself. Can anyone guess what the product in the photo is? Glasses, right? I'm glad no one said lipstick, right? Because a lot of time when I ask people this question, people focus on the lipstick. I don't know why. So yes, it is the glasses. And you know the two companies that form the partnership to produce those glasses are? It's Google and Luxottica. Actually, Luxottica sounds like a lipstick company, right? Quite exotic. So Google and Luxottica. So no one, people know Google is a technology company, right? They produce a lot of technical phones, Chrome, etc. as well. But Luxottica, for those that didn't know, is one of the largest Italian companies that produces designer eyewear. So what they've been able to produce, Church, is something that is technologically capable, but also caters to your fashion wants. Right? You can start to see a trend here, right? So this next partnership, one of my favourite partnerships, right, of all time, Uber Fi. All right, Church, so Uber is your homemade taxi service, right? Using your personal vehicles for a taxi. What's the other partner? Spotify, right? So it's a music streaming application that you utilise. What's so great about this partnership? Why am I so passionate about this partnership? Well, it's a great way to evangelise. Imagine for a moment, I book an Uber vehicle from here to Albany. That's 4 to 5 hour trip, right? I synchronise my favourite worship playlist to that car. You've got a captive audience, Church. Where are they going to go? They're not going to jump out, right? You've got a captive audience for 4 to 5 hours. And if you get them for a return, even better. But the great thing about this partnership is, even if you have such a poor voice like mine, right? Being Viet, my voice is not very great. They will still give you a 5-star rating, right? They'll still say your voice is awesome. How good is that, Church? How good is that? A great ministry for us to go to and something we will explore. So the last one, the last partnership is a long-standing partnership, 1938, Hewlett-Packard and Disney, right? So they've combined the imagination of Disney with the technology of Hewlett-Packard to produce attractions that are fully immersive and out of this world. That attraction was Space Mission and among others as well. So let me ask you, Church, Apple, IBM, Google, Luxottica, UberFi, Hewlett-Packard and Disney, what are the common attributes that make these partnerships so successful? What are the common attributes that make these partnerships so successful? Well, let me give you the first one. I'll make it easy for you. I'll give you the first one. Not only do they have a clear purpose of what they want to produce, but they have a clear understanding of what it means to work with the other partner. All right? They have a clear understanding of what it means to work with the other partner. So second point. Church, do you think, because these companies are successful in their own right? Apple is successful in their own right, but are they able to produce that end product without the other party? What do you reckon, Church? Can they produce that product without the other party? No, right? They require the other party's talents, skill sets, and gifts to bring to the partnership. And lastly, and that's not very explicit under this, is particularly for the longer standing partnerships like Hewlett-Packard and Disney, what's fundamental, what's foundational to that partnership being a success is that relationship and that trust. You know, Dee last year, you know, when he was preaching, he spoke about as we mature in Christ, we no longer see Jesus as just our Saviour, right? Not just our reconciler and bringing us salvation. We see Jesus as our Lord. And fundamental for Jesus being our Lord is that intimate relationship that we have with him, that trust that underlines that foundational relationship with him. So we're going to explore these two concepts. And we're going to explore this through the partnerships. So before we go on, I remember there's one partnership that I haven't spoken about. And I gave you a quick snippet there. One partnership that far exceeds all these combined in terms of longevity, in terms of success. And what is that partnership, Church? That is you and Christ, right? That is us and Christ, and that's the partnership we want to explore. We want to see what it means for us to partnership with him. You know, Kay last week spoke about each of us have many roles, right? Each of us can be a wife, a husband. Kay specifically to Naomi, because he emphasized it a couple of times. Wife, a husband, father, son. We could be, you know, an employer, an employee, a teacher, a homemaker. We have a lot of roles and responsibilities. And year on year, do those roles and responsibilities really change? No, not really, right? We always have those roles and responsibilities. But let me ask you, whether it's at home, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it's in ministry, I ask you, why is it that a lot of the times we feel so drained? Why is it that we feel so exhausted? Because I'm going to ask you right now first, aren't we a grace-based church? If we are a grace-based church, then why is it that we feel in that draining, that energy depletion? There are other occasions, right? When you're sitting there, you're looking at someone at the front and there's this inspiring revelation, we catch on to those revelations. We catch on to that word, that passion, and we drive and we move forward. But after a few months, the same thing occurs, right? The same thing occurs and the cycle repeats itself. You know, for me and from my experience, the reason why that is it's easy for us to focus on what we need to do and how we need to do it. But we tend to lose sight of whom we are doing it with. Right, church? We understand what we need to do and how we need to do it, but we lose sight of whom we are doing it with. So we're going to go through that now, and we're going to explore someone that really understood the meaning of partnership. And that character was none other than Paul. So Dan and I, you know, in a couple of months' time, we're going to be heading to Vietnam with Pastor, and we've been studying Romans quite a fair bit. And through that process, we've got to know Paul's character really well. We've got to know Paul quite intimately. And you know, Paul is someone that really understands what it means to partnership with Christ. So who was Paul? Church, who was Paul? Well, in Romans, it says, Paul was a servant of Christ Jesus, right? Called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Right? Set apart for the gospel of God. In fact, on his road to Damascus, what occurred? He had a blinding light experience with our risen King, right? And God gave him a clear purpose. God sent Ananias to Paul. And what did God say? He said in Acts 9, 15 to 16, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, to their kings, and to the people of Israel. So let me ask you, was it clear for Paul what he needed to do? Yes, he needed to proclaim the name of our Heavenly Father. Was it clear how he needed to do it? Well, he needed to go to the Gentiles, right, the non-Jews, their kings, and the people of Israel, the Jews, to proclaim his name. So his purpose was clear, but did he do it really well? You look at this map, church. Over the 11 years, Paul travelled from all ends, right? He travelled from Jerusalem across through the Greece, through to Philippi, through to Rome, back and forth through to Asia Minor. He travelled over the 11 years across his three missionary journeys, right? And there was no Uber back then, church. It was hard to get around, right? There might have been Uber horse cart, but we'll never know. So it was hard to get around. And you can imagine, was this very easy for Paul? No. He went through many trials and tribulations. He was persecuted in a number of those places, right? So we know this from history. We know this from the Word. But let me ask you right now, what got Paul to get up every morning? What enabled Paul to stay focused on the Father? It was this simple truth, church. He understood what it meant to work with God. In fact, Paul says in Philippians 1, 21 to 22, he says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Put your hands up right now if you think death is an actual gain. Death is an actual benefit. I wasn't expecting hands to come up, but yeah. That's great. So death is an actual gain. For Paul, his intimate relationship, he wanted so much to be with the Heavenly Father, in the right-hand side of our Heavenly Father, that for him, time on earth wasn't going to be near enough, good enough, right? He wanted to be there right next to the Father. Amen, church? But whilst he was in this body, whilst he was walking on this earth to live is Christ, every breath that Paul took, every step that he made was for our Heavenly Father. Is that not compelling, church? Is that not a deep understanding of why it is we work with our Father? And how did this transform Paul, let me ask you? How did this transform Paul, and how does that transform us? Well, we can learn a lot from this. Because when we run in through hindrances in 2018, because it's going to be a year of complete new beginnings, right? If we run into hindrances, if we run into problems, right? No longer are we going to pray to the Father, God, deliver us from this situation. God, help us get through this. No, we're going to change our mindset, church. We're going to do what Paul and Silas did whilst they were in prison, right? What they did was they worshipped and praised the Heavenly Father from the top of their heads to the tip of their toes, right? We're going to praise and worship our Heavenly Father, and the world is going to shake, church. First Light is going to move forward together in this community as well, church. This is what it means to partner with Him. So you might ask, some of you might sit there and say, well, you know, we're not all going to have this blinding light experience like Paul did, right? Jesus is not all going to come in with a flash, you know, and send one of his followers out to us. No. So what do we have? What we have, church, is his word, right? He gives us his word. He gives us the Bible so we can anchor on the word and the revelations that he gives us. And I want to share with you, church, right now, the word that, you know, God has been giving me, what has he has anchored in my life. And that's Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. And what I love about this, or I love the word things, because it just doesn't mean the small things. It just doesn't mean the medium things or the trivial things. It means also the miraculous things, because all those things are possible, not by my own strength, not by my own effort, but from the Heavenly Father. Amen, church? So you think to yourself, well, how does this work in a partnership? How does God help us really understand the word that he has given us? Well, God also gives us reminders. And it's not the reminders we might give our little children when they're naughty. No, what God does is he reminds us of the word and the promises that he's given us, right? And I'll share with you my testimony right now. You know, end of last year, a couple of years back, you know, I shared last year that, you know, my job and my role, I did a lot of fly in, fly out, right? So I worked away quite a fair bit, even when my family was quite young. And it came a point in time that I kind of felt the yearning, well, you know, saying it's time for a change. It's time for you to move back to Perth. So I prayed about it. And then Pastor, you know, every few weeks he would come to me and say, Sang, when are you coming back to Perth? That was a pretty bad impersonation of Pastor. Sorry if he hears this. Sounds like Count Dracula. Anyway, so he keeps on asking me every couple of weeks, every couple of months, when are you coming back to Perth? So after a period of time, my boss actually sent me an email. He sent me an email and along with my other peers as well and says, look, there's a position open. But he wasn't expecting anyone to put their hands up, right? So I prayed about it. I spoke to other people and everyone told me, Sang, don't do it. It's volatile at the moment. You need to stay as close as possible to the ore. So you need to stay on the mine site basically, right? Because, you know, jobs in Perth, etc., it's quite volatile at the moment. You're not going to have any security. So I ummed and ahed about it a fair bit. And then I said, oh, you know, I spoke to Anna about it and we said, yeah, let's just put it in. Let's see where God leads us. So I went in, looked up, went to apply for it. And then I got an automatic rejection letter saying, the applications have closed 3 days ago. So church, when God tells you to do something, just do it, right? Don't procrastinate like I do. So anyway, so what I did was I looked up, found out who the hiring lead was. I sent him an email, and I kid you not, 1 minute later, I got a response back. He said, Sang, don't worry, send me through your resume. Great, right? And I thought to myself, when I looked at the prerequisites of the role, right, because I forgot to look at the prerequisites, don't follow my suit. Was I prepared? Was I qualified for the role? So it asked for 15 years experience. I did about 11 years, right? Plus or minus 4 years. It's not too bad. It asked for someone that had a mechanical engineering degree. So obviously I studied electrical and computer science. So if they wanted lights that can turn on and off, then yeah, I could help them out there. So I wasn't qualified for the role. But then, you know, through God's grace and through God's faith, that He allowed me to have an interview, right? He scheduled an interview in for a couple of days' time. And it's been a while since I've been in an interview, right? But I've done a fair few interviews before. So I prepared, church. I came through, you know, I highlighted all my strengths and all my weaknesses, and I have a lot of weaknesses. I then noted down all the different scenarios. Everyone that's been in an interview will know all those little behavioural scenarios that we always have to write up about, right? So I had a lot of examples to give. So I walked into the interview. There was a panel of three, the hiring lead, HR, and another manager. Half an hour later, I walked out, and I said to myself, what the heck just happened? I prepared for days having all these examples. Why didn't they ask me any of those questions? You're meant to follow a standard format. They didn't. And I was pretty deflated when I walked out because I don't know what's going to happen here. I asked the hiring lead before I left, when will I find out if I got the role or not? And they said, well, you'll find out in 3 days' time. So guess what? 3 days' time went by. I didn't hear anything, right? So what I said was, oh, it must be just HR because HR takes a long time to do these things. So, you know, it's dragging out a little bit. Doesn't really matter. A week went by. I still heard nothing. And at this point, church, what do we do, right? What we tend to do is instead of claiming God's promises to us, what we do is we rationalize the outcome to God's will, right? Because what I start saying is, well, if it is your will, God, if it is your will for me to be on site, then that's why I haven't got the position. If it is your will for me to be there, then that's not your purpose for me. So we rationalize the outcome to what God's will is for us, right? We don't claim the outcome in his name, right? So 2 weeks went by, and I one night I was putting my son in bed. And this is the point where I said, oh, you know, I haven't got the role. I haven't heard back. And whilst I was putting my son Kieran in bed, he looked at me and he said, Daddy, when are you coming back to Perth? Because I'm so excited to see you every night. When are you coming back to Perth? Because I'm so excited to see you every night. Church, when I tell this story, I tell you now, it rips my heart apart, right? Because I stood there and I could not tell my son that I did not get the position. All I could say to him was, soon, Kieran, soon. So I went into work the very next day, and my boss has been on holidays, I've been acting for him, and I went in and had a chat with him, and he goes, Sang, guess what? You got the role, right? Not only did you get the role, Sang, you were the most preferred candidate. Amen, church? With God, all things are possible, right? With God, all things are possible, right? Because it transforms the way we think. It transforms the way we do things. These are the things that we can anchor on, right? You know, when you look at this cup, people have seen this before, right? When we look at this cup, what do you see? Some people look at this cup and they say, well, this is a glass half empty, right? This is a glass half empty. Those are what we call pessimists, right? Those are what pessimistic. When others look at this cup, they see this is a cup that's half full, right? Those are the optimists. Well, I'm going to declare today, church, 2018, as us as First Light, as us as believers, when we look at this cup, we should see this cup as half full. But not only that, God has the ability to change that water into wine. Am I right, church? He's going to perform miracles within our congregation. He's going to perform miracles with us through the marketplace, right? Amen, church? Amen. All right. So we're going to go through the next point. So the next point is around, you know, what skill sets, what talents do we bring to the partnership, right? Because we can't have a partnership without the other partner, right? What does God bring? God gives us his promises. He gives us faith through grace. He is our Lord and he's our Savior, right? He gives us everything that we need. He holds up his side of the bargain. But what is it that we bring? What uniqueness do we bring to this partnership? Because he needs the other half as well, right, church? He needs the other half. He needs us to walk with him. And we're going to explore this again, right? What talents do we bring to the partnership? And again, we're going to explore this through Paul's life. So who was Paul? Before Paul was Paul, he was actually Saul, right? Before Paul was Paul, he was actually Saul. Sounds like something out of Dr. Seuss. And who was Saul? Saul was a Pharisee, right? Saul was a Pharisee and a Jew. So he was a religious leader back in the day. And let me ask you, did Saul understand the law? Yeah, he understood the law, right? He understood the law inside out. In fact, he was taught by none other than Gamaliel. So Gamaliel was a revered reverend rabbi and Jewish leader at that time as well, right? And equivalent to Gamaliel teaching Paul or Saul is equivalent to Bill Gates teaching an IT student. So he knew the law inside out. And was Saul passionate? Yes, he was passionate. He was so passionate about his belief that the very essence of Christianity, the very essence of having a risen king was a threat to Saul. He took a career of persecuting believers, right? Men, women, and children were not exempt, right? He dragged them through and put them into prison. He even traveled 240 kilometers north to Damascus to grab the rest of the believers and bring them back to Jerusalem. Right, church? This is what this man did. And then what? He had that encounter with the risen King. He had that encounter that transformed his life. So, church, let me ask you, when God transformed Saul to Paul, did he wipe away Paul's passion and his zeal? Did he wipe away Paul's passion and zeal? No. What he did is he refocused Paul's passion and his zeal towards preaching and proclaiming God's name, right? Right? He refocused his passion and zeal to claiming his name. And church, let me ask you, did he wipe away his understanding of the law? No. He utilized Saul's understanding of the law to enable him to write letters that were so decisive, write letters and proclaim Jesus' name in such a decisive way that the gospel of grace was spread throughout Asia Minor, Greece, Rome, etc. as well, right? He utilized his knowledge for that. And I tell you now, church, even his experiences, even though he persecuted the Christians and other believers, right, God even utilized that. Because it enabled him to have credibility with both the Jews and the Gentiles. It allowed him to have a foot in both camps, right? Because you can imagine, once it was transformed, people were watching Paul and saying, well, you know, wasn't this the guy that persecuted us? And now he is preaching the name of Jesus Christ, right? And I tell you, church, I tell you now, God transformed Paul from a persecutor to a preacher, right? From a resister of Christianity to a sister in Christianity. It's amazing. It's amazing, the transformation. And just as God utilized every ounce of Paul, I tell you now, church, God wants to use every ounce of us as well. So we're going to ask you today, church, we're going to ask you as individuals, reflect on your uniqueness, your experiences, even before you were a believer. God wants to use every ounce of that. Even if you have a shady past that you're maybe not proud of, well, maybe God is asking you to utilize that to preach to those that have been in the same experience as well. Is that right, church? Yeah? In fact, God has given us gifts, right? In Romans 12, 6 to 7, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. God wants a partnership with us so much that by his grace, he has given us gifts, right? If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. It is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, church, then do it cheerfully. And I want to take this further, right? If it is to worship, then do it wholeheartedly. If it is to set up lights, then shine ever brighter for him. If it is to welcome, then do it with open arms. If it is to set up the signs, church, if it is to set up the signs and do those bits, well, point the people to our Heavenly Father. Point the people to Jesus Christ. Is that what we can do, congregation? Yeah? Amen, congregation. This is what we're going to do as individuals. So you might ask now, what does that mean for us as a community? What does that mean for us as a community of First Light? Well, you know what? In Romans 12, 4, 5, so the verse just before, it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. What's it saying here? So our body has many limbs, right? Has many organs. Each of them has their own function and individual traits. Just like each of us have all individual talents and gifts and uniqueness and experiences that God wants to work with. However, church, what it's saying in that last put highlighted in red is, though many, we form one body and each member belongs to each other. So us, as each individual, belong to one body of Christ, right? Belong to one church, one First Light as well. So what it's saying here, congregation, is not only does God want us to partner with him, he wants us to partnership with each other as well. He wants us to journey together as a church, as a community, right? And we're going to do this, church. We're going to revitalize our 3-2-1s. We're going to revitalize our life groups as well, because those are the avenues where we can truly partnership with each other and move as a community for God. Am I right, church? Yeah? Amen, church? All right. So, I've got this last testimony to share with you, right? And it's not always easy to use our talents and skill sets, because what we do as people, what we do as human beings is we put our own barricades and blockades up, right? You know, we say to ourselves, you know, I'm inadequate for this, or I'm unable to do that. In fact, you know, last week, Kay was sharing with the congregation, and when Pastor asked him, Kay, come speak at the end of the year, what did Kay say? Yes, not a problem. You know, when Pastor asked me, Sang, will you speak in the new year? What I said, no, not a chance. See, I said it with the same passion, just in the opposite way. So for me, because, you know, preaching for 15 minutes is different to preaching for 30 or so minutes, right? For me, I had a lot of reservations of what, you know, God is going to work through me too. And I had a lot of blockades and barriers that I put in front of me, right? But you know what Pastor said to me? He said, Sang, what week do you want me to schedule you in? So he kind of ignored what I said, but he had a purpose and he saw something in me that I didn't. And he said, what week do you want me to schedule you in? And you know, as I prayed over it and I looked over it as well, you know, God gave me this revelation. And this revelation actually comes in a picture format. You saw a snippet of it already. So this picture is going to be ingrained in your head, church. This picture is going to be ingrained in your head. Can I ask you, as I reveal this picture, as I share with you my testimony, I wonder if anyone can guess what this picture is. All right? It's going to be a little bit of an interactive session here. So you're going to guess what this picture is. So I'm going to start sharing my story. So last year, around September, and the Tangs can't guess, by the way, because they're going to know. So the Tangs and the Nguyen's, we went on a holiday to Konakinabalu, right, in September. And near the end of the trip, the girls, the two wives and the older girls, Tegan and Charlotte, says, oh, you know, where are we going to go? We're going to get ourselves pampered up, you know, look very pretty and everything else, get our hair cut, get our facials done. So Jason and I, we took the older kids and we took Kieran, and the two younger kids, Sophie and Mia, and we went around the shops for a little bit while the girls were getting themselves prettied up and so on. So we walked around for a couple of hours, okay? We walked around for a couple of hours. We were pretty exhausted. And then we came back to the beautician and then, you know, Anna runs up to me and says, Sang, you got to do this. You got to do this. And I said, do what? Do what? Can anyone guess what this picture is? Hey? No one can guess? Yes. You can hear my son call it out. It is a photo of my feet, church. This is how much I love this community, right? Because I am sharing and I'm bearing all to you guys. So you can't see it. By the way, I'm wearing closed shoes, right? My eyes are here, so stay focused. So you can't see it right now, but here, my heels are pretty cracked, right? They're pretty ugly and they're pretty dry. Anna says it's probably one of the ugliest things she's ever seen. Lucky she didn't marry me for my feet. So I said, fine, I'm going to do this, right? I'm going to do this. So I sat on the chair and the lady looks at me and goes, oh, your wife has told me about your feet. It's like she was prophesying something. Wow. So anyway, she whips out this thing that looks like a cheese grater, church. I kid you not. She whips out this thing like a cheese grater and she starts scrubbing, right? All this skin is flying everywhere, going, whoa, whoa, I'm dodging it. She's not even wearing a mask, right? I was getting pretty giddy inside because I've never seen a lady so excited about my feet before. She had big smiles. She was in the land of milk and honey, I kid you not. She was scrubbing away. To a point, church, to a point that afterwards, the undersole of my feet started to bleed. That's how excited she was by my feet. So church, let me ask you, because now this photo is ingrained in your head, right? You're going to think about these feet for a while now. So what was God's revelation to me? What did God give me a revelation of? Well, church, I'm going to close out now and invite the worship team up right now. So God's revelation to me was this. You know, sometimes we might feel dry like my feet, right? We might feel spiritually dry like my feet. Sometimes we might feel cracked and we see the barriers that physically that we don't think we as individuals can overcome. Is that right, church? Just like me standing before you, these are the barriers that I thought I could not overcome. But did God not say in Isaiah and in Romans, even though I may have the ugliest feet in the world, according to my wife, did God not say, church, that how beautiful are the feet of those who spread your good news? Amen, church. How beautiful are the feet of those who spread your good news? So, church, right now, I want to ask you right now, if you truly want a partnership with our Father, if you truly want to understand what it means to work with God and just not for God, I just want to get you to stand up right now, congregation. I want you to get you to stand up right now. And we're going to do something. I want to ask you, 2018 is going to be a year of complete new beginnings, right? 2018, we're going to be transformed and changing as well. I want you to stand with the person next to you. I want you guys to pray for what it means to partnership with God. Can you do that, church? Can we do that? Go to the person next to you right now, church. Lay hands on them and start to pray, God. Heavenly Father, so many thank you for us. Yes, Father, you know, this is the word that you've given us, right? What it means to partnership for you, with you, Lord. You know, we're no longer just going to be working for you, God. We're going to understand deep and intimately what it means to work with you. You know, you want to utilize every ounce of us. You want to utilize all the talents, all the experience, even our flaws, God, you want to utilize, right? We just got to let you work in our lives. We got to trust in you that you can do awesome things. You can transform those. You can remove barriers that were there. We may feel inadequate. We may feel physically dry like the feet that you have shown. But God, with you, all things are possible. Amen, church. With you, all things are possible, church. 2018 is going to be a year of complete new beginnings. We're going to be rejuvenated. We're going to step forth. We're going to transform the ministries in these lives, Lord. We're going to transform those things around us and in the marketplace, church. Are you with me? This is going to be awesome, church. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks very much, everyone.